92.3 WTTS. On demand.
It's 92.3 WTTS in Palmerton Hall with Benjamin Wagner. And I'm first of all, Benjamin, I'm going to introduce you from some other things that you do. First of all, you are the Senior Vice President of MTV News. And we have seen you interview people like Neil Young, R.E.M., I think U2 in the past. And you've been very involved in a number of projects. But what we're here to talk with you about today, and I'm just going to let you reveal it because it's such a neat topic. You've got a film in the Heartland Film Festival. Just tell us about it.
Sure. And what's funny is it's so incongruous with, U2 or Neil Young in a lot of ways. It's a film called Mr. Rogers and Me. Of course, Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, America's Favorite Neighbor, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS for 30 years, some 1,000 episodes. And about 8 or 9 years ago, I met Mr. Rogers, not in the context of either of our work, actually on vacation on the island of Nantucket, which is off of Massachusetts, off the coast of Massachusetts. And we started talking just about life and truth and beauty and eventually, of course, found our way to discussing media and culture, specifically, frankly, this sort of dichotomy or differences between the kind of media being made by companies like MTV and companies like PBS, Public Broadcasting.
Are you in a position where you can, like, be objective? And I mean, I know you're a journalist. That's your background, but can you be objective with your employer?
Absolutely. And in fact, look, I make the mistake. I said this to Mr. Rogers, and I'll say this to you, and I'll say this to anybody. I love what I do for MTV News. I work for, most of the people I work with are absolutely intending and endeavoring to make the world a better place. And, next week, MTV News is doing a town hall forum with the president. I mean, MTV News invented Choose or Lose, which brought millions of kids into the political process. MTV News has been covering youth culture for 20 plus years, and the network does great things all the time. It really ends up not being an indictment of where I work day to day, but really an examination through conversations with people like the late Tim Russert, Susan Sandberg of National Public Radio, Mark Brown, who's the author and creator of Arthur the Aardvark on PBS. It's really an examination of the cultural forces at play that, make our world, the conversation went like this. Mr. Rogers said to me, deep and simple is far more essential than shallow and complex. And so it's really an example of, or an examination of those two sort of opposing forces. And the truth is, it's never that black and white. I love what I do. It's exciting every day. But there are shades of gray, and so the question ends up being, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Paul? What am I going to do, Benjamin? What is each person out there going to do? Just small steps, because they aggregate over time. But there are a lot of, there are big forces at play. Capitalism, consumerism, these are, these are not small things. It's an interesting binary, a PBS mind in an MTV world. But MTV is just one of a million entities. I mean, Clear Channel or McDonald's or ABC, Disney. I mean, it's all kind of the same, and these are the forces that are worth taking a look at, because any corporation is just an aggregate, a collection of individual human beings like you and me.
Where did Mr. Rogers come down on some of this stuff? I mean, was he either pro or anti-capitalist?
Well, I wouldn't say anything that strident. I mean, Mr. Rogers, the Mr. Rogers that I knew, who was, by the way, exactly in person as he was on the television, except he wore glasses instead of contact lenses. But I remember talking with him about Will Smith and Bad Boys 2, and of all things, which was filming in the early 2000s. And he had said, they built this million-dollar mansion just to blow it up, and I understand because it'll make a compelling movie. But I said to them, and God knows who he was in conversation with about that movie, but Mr. Rogers touched millions of lives. He said, I said, at least make a little documentary that you can put on the DVD so people can know how you did that.
Was this at like a chance meeting, or did you have this set up out on Nantucket?
It was a little bit of both. My mother has been renting a cottage out there for years and goes out there and spends a month writing. And Mr. Rogers lived next door, and she met him every day. He swam a mile in the bay, and wow. She met him while he was taking one of his swims.
Boy, you know, I can't remember the details. I remember he died in 03, I think February, but I don't remember. It seems like he left us a little too soon.
Yeah, you're right. He passed away at colon cancer, and it was very, very quick. I think he was diagnosed around Thanksgiving and passed away in February, and very few people knew. He was, if memory serves, 73. It was certainly unexpected. And, you know, to be fair, I exchanged five, you know, old school paper letters and had two or three in-person conversations with him. So I don't ever try and amplify the depth of our friendship. It was significantly moving in a very brief amount of time, but a lot of people felt a lot of loss. And, you know, that's captured here in part, but ostensibly we just felt strongly. And, you know, my brother and I, who is a video editor and partnered with me on this project. I mean, it's basically him and me throwing a camera in a car and driving all over the country and talking to people. We felt pretty strongly that these were important values that we wanted to do our best to amplify. And you know, he had ostensibly given me the challenge. You know, he said to me after that first summer when I met him, and he said, "Deep and simple is far more essential than shallow and complex." I couldn't get it off my mind, because once you start looking at the world through that lens, it's a pretty compelling way to think about things. And so I told him that the next summer, and he leaned into me and he said, "Spread the message, Benjamin, spread the message."
Oh,
so
wow.
this documentary really is my best attempt to make good on that promise to spread the message.
Well, this sounds like the total embodiment of what the Heartland Film Festival is here in Indianapolis. And you have six showings. I think every one of those is going to be sold out. I really honestly do.
I hope so.
You've already won an award. Is there any plan to do further ventures with this project?
Yeah, you know, we're really in the beginning stages. Indianapolis will be only the third city to see it. You know, it's probably only been viewed by a couple hundred people at this point in a couple of film festivals. So after the film festival circuit, which really runs through, you know, sort of the holidays, we're working on a broadcast premiere, you know, lobbying PBS pretty heavily. They have a couple of series, POV and Independent Lens. Our hope is that it'll end up on one of those. And our hope is that it will premiere on television in the spring, right around his birthday, which is March 20th. And then we're going to hit the road, you know, kind of like I'm going to tear a page from my touring days, and we're going to, you know, put my guitar and my brother and me in a car, and we're going to drive around and hopefully have conversations with people and play the film and maybe sing a song or two and really do a real grassroots thing, because I think he would have appreciated that, and, you know, as opposed to taking it to cineplexes from coast to coast. We're going to, you know, take it from museums and libraries and church basements and stuff like that.
92.3 WTTS. On demand.